Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Good evening. This is Willard Welch, Drum alumni, and I'm interviewing today Dean Logan. And today is July the 20th, 2012. Almost said 1900. Okay, well, here we go. Dean, can you give me your full name, please?
Yeah, Gary, middle name Dean, last name Logan.
And how old are you this year, Gene? Dean? Boy, I'm really mixed up.
I'll be 74 in December.
74, okay. And how old were you when you left the farm?
When you graduated? 17.
17,
yeah.
And where did you come from to go to the farm?
I lived at 26th and Campbell Street in Kansas City.
Oh.
Address was 2608. And so I'd moved there when I was 10 years old from California, where I was born.
Oh.
My dad was one of 16 children, and most of my relatives were here, so he moved back here when I was 10.
Right.
And that's where we lived in, you know, off 2608 Campbell.
Yeah, just off of Troost there.
Yeah, just right down from Troost.
Yeah. A lot of us seem to come from that general area.
Yeah.
And how long were you at the farm?
Approximately 3.5 years, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
From what years?
I think it was 52 to 56.
Okay. All right. And which high school did you go to?
I went to East High School.
Okay. And did you participate in the school activities?
Yeah, I was in the musical department at East High School, and we performed in plays that they put on for the General Assembly.
Right.
Of course, we participated in agriculture back at our classroom at the farm. And,
right.
You know, yeah. Played all the sports that were available, track, baseball, football,
right.
Basketball.
So you were conscious of the sweater, and you were trying to earn the sweater?
Yeah, no, I did earn the sweater. I got Mrs. Berkmeyer made my drum insignia for my sweater, and I received it, and it's now hanging at Logan House on campus.
Great.
At Drum Farm.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the guys lost theirs, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, if you didn't take care of them, the moths would eat them up. They're all made out of that virgin wool that they love so much.
And yeah.
So right. You have to really take care of them to preserve them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's been a few years, too.
Yeah, 56 to, 2012.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the fads when you were going to school?
Well, you know, we used to roll our jeans up, so all the jeans were rolled up. Nobody ever wore a straight-leg pair of jeans.
Right.
Of course, everybody had a particular style of haircut. We were somewhat limited to the types of haircut we could have, but you could have a crew cut, and if Mr. Nelson, Mr. Berkmeyer didn't catch you, you could also do what they call a ducktail with a rat tail in front.
Mm. Right.
And you know, very few people wore their hair long then, and
right.
A lot of pink shirts at that time and gray, and a lot of collars turned up.
Right.
Yeah. People, you know, not that we ever did this, but you know, cigarettes were carried on in your shirt sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
You'd put them in your shirt sleeve and roll your shirt sleeve up a couple times, and that's where everyone carried their
right.
cigarettes. It's kind of out of the movie Grease time frame.
Right.
Where
right.
You can look at that and you can see just about what style of clothing and haircuts and, you know, the way we dressed and things just by watching that movie.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's like watching a thing of art history.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Great time to be alive in the 50s.
Oh, yeah, definitely. What 4-H and FF memories do you have?
Oh, well, you know, I remember girls in 4-H, and that was a big hit with the boys at the farm.
Oh, yeah.
when they'd have their picnics and things. I participated in 4-H. I was in the Boy Scouts, of course, FFA, Future right. Farmers of America.
Right.
I raised a hog and had a litter. I raised a calf and took it to the fair in Kansas City to show it and sold it there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and so, you know, those kinds of things. We did woodworking, welding, electricity, agriculture, of course.
Oh, naturally.
And all the things associated with growing up on a farm.
Right, yeah, yeah. We never worried about having anything to do, did we?
No, we always had plenty to do, that's for sure.
Do you remember how much was your allowance?
Yeah, I actually worked my way up to 50 cents a month by the time I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
So we started out with a quarter.
Right.
And, I got 50 cents in my senior year a month.
Wow. And you didn't spend it all in one place,
either. I never spent all my allowance. I always had some left over.
Mm-hmm. And talking about chores, now, what was your favorite chore?
Milking the cows. Had to be the favorite chore because, you know, all you did is get up in the morning, and even in the wintertime, you go out and you sit down next to your cow that you had to milk, or two cows, and you know, didn't have to shovel manure, and you didn't have to throw hay up into the loft.
Right.
And it was probably the easiest job, and at the same time, it gave your arms a good workout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Developed a good grip.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not only a good grip, but, you know, arm muscles that are still with me today.
Yeah. And what was your least favorite?
I think when I first got to Drum Farm, my first chore was gathering eggs, and I'd have to carry them to the freezer room, and that's the room where we kept our milk and things, and I had to get a bucket of warm water, and unknown to a lot of people, eggs don't come out of the chicken real clean, and they're in a place where they're subject to other types of debris falling on them, and I had to take a piece of steel wool and soak it in the warm water and then clean every single egg before it went up to the kitchen.
Right, yeah, yeah. Richard Hampton's got some stories about the eggs not making it to the freezer.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, when we were at Drum, what kind of entertainment do you remember?
Well, in the West Wing, there wasn't a heck of a lot. And as you got older, you migrated from a dorm with 16 or so boys in it to a room in the East House with only 4 beds in it. So you were 4 to a room. Upstairs on the second floor, we had a music room, and that's where most of the boys learned to dance.
Oh, yeah.
And downstairs in the living room, we had a TV with some channels that came in that we used to entertain ourselves, but that was short-lived between study hall and bedtime.
Right.
It was right. Only about an hour and a half difference there. So
yeah.
Didn't watch much TV when we were growing up.
No. Well, a lot of times you spent it outside playing anyway.
Oh, yeah. Everything was outside. We had our track. We had our baseball field. We practiced football.
Right.
You know, we didn't have a gym at that time, so we couldn't practice. We had a asphalt court for the basketball, and
right.
We used to practice on that
right.
Outside.
Yeah.
And that's still there today, by the way.
Yeah, so, one of the few things.
Yeah, it's one of the things that are still remained.
Did you develop any job skills at the farm?
Well, yes, I did, but I didn't really employ many of them. As I graduated into a working life, I learned electricity, I learned how to weld, I learned how to do woodworking, I learned how to plumb, I learned how to wire, I learned how to take a tractor apart and put it back together. Mm-hmm. But then when I graduated, the first job I had was with the Shoe and Girt Plastering Company in Kansas City. They called me a cub, and first job was working on the Muehlbach Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I can remember reporting for work at 17 years old, and the foreman took me into a room that had a board and a bunch of plaster on the board. And the tools of the trade are what they call a hawk and a trowel. And the plaster sits on the hawk, and you put it on the wall with the trowel. And he said, "You see that plaster?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You see that hawk?" I said, "Yes, sir." You see the trial? Yes, sir. He says, I want you to take that plaster and put it on that wall. And he turned around and walked out. Wow. No training whatsoever. And if anyone has ever had experience working with plaster, as simple as it appears to be, the most difficult task is getting the plaster onto the hawk and then getting it off the hawk with a trowel and putting it on the wall. Mm-hmm. And it's double difficult to put it on a ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Because you put it on and it comes off if you don't know what you're doing. So at the end of the day, he came in to see how I was doing, and he saw a young man in white Navy clothes that were donated to me by my brother, and I was covered in plaster from head to foot. Mm. First day on the job. No one thought I'd come back, but I did.
Good.
I stuck it out.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah, on the job training.
OJT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, Nancy, you said you graduated in
1956.
And you were 17 at that time.
17 years old.
Okay. Now, did you go to college or trade school?
No, I worked for the Schoeninger Plastering Company, and from there I joined the Navy in 1956 and studied electronics in the Navy. And I went to boot camp in San Diego, and I went to electronics preschool in Norman, Oklahoma, and then I went to electronics A school in Memphis, Tennessee. Left and was shipped out to a squadron in Moffett Field, California, which is 60 miles south of San Francisco in what is now referred to as Silicon Valley.
Right. Wow.
They had the old airship hangars. Airship is another term used for blimps. And so they had two big blimp hangars at Moffett Field, and we also had a jet fighter squadron, and those are the planes that I worked on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so you were in the Navy. So how long were you in the Navy?
I was in the Navy 4 years.
Oh, okay. And you were then in electronics.
Yes, I was an electronic technician. But when I actually got to my assignment at Moffett Field, most of the electronic guys were kind of nerdy looking, and the electricians were tough looking and more manly looking. So I figured out a way to switch from being an electronics person to an electrician on the aircraft. And they were what they call F4Hs and F4Ds. And these are one-man fighter jet aircraft. And so I maintained all the electrical systems, but I could also maintain the electronics if I was asked to.
Oh, good. Yeah. Sound like you enjoyed your work.
I loved it. It was a great job. I was going to stay in for 20 years, but it just wasn't the life for me.
Too regimented?
For that long. No, there seemed to be too many people enlisted that didn't take their jobs seriously.
Oh.
And they'd been there 15 years, and I outranked them after only being there for 3 years. And I found myself telling grown-up men to pick up cigarette butts on the tarmac, and I just didn't like that whole surrounding of me being a 18-year-old kid telling 28 and 29-year-old men what to do. So I did my 4 years, and I was honorably discharged.
Oh, good, yeah. But you picked up a trade, though.
Yeah. I actually, I didn't use the training that I got because I didn't go into the aircraft industry or into the commercial aviation business, but I did go to junior college after I left the Navy, and I was actually going to become a psychologist for the deaf.
Oh.
And then I found out how much money they made a year and decided to switch to electronics. And so I studied 2 years of college, and I earned a quality engineering certificate from the American Society of Quality Control, and I started my electronics career as a quality inspector to a quality engineer to a quality manager.
Oh.
And eventually I was able to form my own company, which I am still running today.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So what would you say was the turning point from your psychological efforts to the computer?
It really was financial. I mean, these guys that were psychologists at that time, even though it would have been an honorable profession, they just weren't making any money. And I came from an environment where it seemed important to me at the time to make money.
Oh, sure.
And yeah. I lived in a rich state, and it costs a lot of money to live in that part of the country, and you have to find something to take care of yourself. And so I switched to the electronics because that was the hot item at the time.
Right. Yeah. And it paid off.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Very lucky. And let's see. Now, do you think drum could have better prepared you for life after graduation?
You know, the drum has done a good job as they could with the resources they had available. It never seemed important, and it still doesn't seem important in the school system today to teach younger people anything about finances. And, you know, the only thing I wish I'd learned more about is money and how to make it work for you and the financial structure of banks and the stock market and all these other types of things that have to do with our daily lives that we know very little about.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I wish then and now that finance would be a major topic of education, but it just doesn't seem to be that important in the lower ranks.
Yeah, you're right.
No, so they did a good job. I mean, what they prepared us for was to have a strong work ethic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, show up on time. Be prepared to go to work when you get there. You know, work hard. Do a good job. You know, don't slack off. You know, don't miss work.
Right.
So we had a strong work ethic, and I think all the boys, you know, regardless of their skills and their level of expertise, would always demonstrate that work ethic.
Oh, yeah. That's what most of the guys end up talking about, too.
Yeah.
It helps them get through life.
So that really prepared us for the world because most of the folks out there didn't have that same kind of work ethic, so we always had an advantage.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, so you believe drum did influence your life and your successes?
If I hadn't gone to drum, I'm not sure, and you'd have to understand the neighborhood now that exists today and the difference between then and now, but it was bad when I lived in it, and it's bad now, so there's no telling. I was not doing well in school. I was not hanging out with the right people. I could have become a delinquent very easy, and you know, if it hadn't been for drum, I have no idea where I'd be today.
Right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. That part of town hasn't changed a bit. And what accomplishments or which accomplishment makes you the most proud?
Well, that covers a broad range of topics, but you know, I think passing on my work ethic, you know, in my life is I'm sure that although I don't ask people and it's not often spoken about, but I'm sure that people look at how you conduct yourself on the job and how I conducted myself, and whether they admired the results or not, they had to admire the work ethic that propelled me through my life. And it's one of those things that help you as a parent, helps you as a person, and it allows you to help other people. And so, you know, I know that family is very important, and you know, probably should be proud of your kids and more than anything else, but I think you have to be a standard bearer for what you're responsible for in life, and that's to influence other people to look at your values, and if you have values of virtue and you want to do good in the world, then people should try to emulate those. And if you can influence someone to do that, no telling what good deed they might do that will change the world someday.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Because I think of George Burkmeyer, you know.
Absolutely.
An outstanding example.
Yep.
And see, now, can you remember any funny or humorous stories about life at the drum?
Yeah, I actually stole a can of prunes before a camping trip one time, and I got caught. And I had to eat prunes for 2 solid weeks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, wow.
And when I got off that punishment, I certainly enjoyed my dinners once again, and I never, ever stole anything else.
Made a believer.
Yeah, I'd say so. Try it sometime.
Oh, yeah, right. What words of wisdom would you like to share with others?
Well, you know, every once in a while I get asked to say something at the farm.
Right.
And I tell everyone there's only one reason in life to make more money than you need, and that's to give it away.
Right.
And so I would encourage people to be generous with their spirit, generous with their time, and generous with their money. You know, pick and choose who
sure.
you want to give it to and what you want to, where you want it to go. But, you know, if you have an extra buck and you don't need it, give it away.
Right. Well, see, and that's the same thing I heard Warren Buffett say, too, because he gave a lot of his money to the to Bill and Melissa Gates. There we go.
Gates family.
The Gates family, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a big gap there between...
Between them and us?
Yes.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. It's,
And what have you done that no one would guess that you've done?
Oh, let's see. I think I already let the cat out of the bag. I think that no one really knew that I wanted to be a psychologist for the deaf. And I took 4 years of sign language to prepare myself for it.
Wow.
And then when I made that decision to change, it's not mentioned hardly ever except in these kinds of cases.
Right.
So I think that would surprise a lot of people to know that I was thinking of heading in that direction.
Right. Or that you were that serious about it.
Yeah.
I remember one time when you were back, you and I talked about it.
Yes.
And I was surprised when you changed.
Yeah.
But, that was a major achievement, though. To dedicate 4 years of your life to learning sign language.
Yeah.
Because that's not an easy skill.
No, but it was more fun than work.
Yeah.
It was kind of a game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
A serious game, though.
Yeah.
And what's one thing that you'd like people to remember most about you?
Oh, geez. I don't have anything that just pops up into my head. You know, if they want to remember anything, just remember that I tried to give something back to the farm. You know, in these last 10 years, I've been in a position to make some contributions that were kind of a payback for what the farm gave me. And I think really the other things I've done, you know, most people, you know, have done equal or better. You know, but there's only one Andrew Drum Farm, and
right.
you know, being able to give something back and seeing your name on one of the buildings
mm-hmm.
is a real blessing for me.
It's a major achievement, though, for an alumni.
Well, it's an honor that was given to me by the people who run the farm.
Right. Yeah.
And I think a major achievement for me was earning the George Birkemeyer Award.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a great. You know, I really was honored by having that honor bestowed upon me.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be for any of the alumni. Yeah, definitely. Now, that's all the questions I had or suggestions for gleaning information from you.
All right, good.
Now, I wondered if there was anything that you would like to share with us.
I think the farm right now is in good hands. I've never seen it so robust and full of life as it is today. The other people who ran the farm, they did a wonderful job, and they took it to levels that had not been taken to before. Now they've turned it over to a young man named Brad Smith. He's the director of the farm or superintendent. I maybe not have the title correct, but in the short time he's been there, I've seen changes in a logarithmic nature where it would used to take us 5 years to get something done. He seemed to get it done in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
The restoration, you know, of the
East Building
is an accomplishment that I'm sure he brought some closure to. He's got animals back on the farm. Maybe I'm not supposed to let that cat out of the bag, because there were not supposed to be animals back on the farm because all the laws have changed. The boys and girls seem to be productive out there, and it seems to be just doing great.
So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really happy to be associated with Andrew Drum Farm.
Oh, yeah. And I just wish more of the alumni would come back to see the change, see the improvements.
I wish they would, too. But I was one of those guys that stayed away for a long time. I think the last 10 years, 11 years, I've been very active. Mm-hmm. But before that, I think I may have come back once or twice. So that's a long dry spell. So when it's time to come back, you'll either come back or you'll never come back.
Right.
So
yeah, I've noticed that a lot of the guys, it's kind of like when they get retired or when their families start leaving the nest, so to speak, then they have more time to come back and visit the memories.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Dean. I appreciate it very much.
No problem.
And that concludes our little session for today. Thank you.